Welcome to The Drive. Over the next 2 hours, we'll break down everything that's happening in the sports world, locally and nationally. Got an opinion? Hit us up at 843-652-3776. The Drive is socially networked. Get us on Twitter at 1003TheTeam or on Facebook at facebook.com/1003TheTeam. Now buckle up, take the car out of park, and let's go to the Sports Radio 100.3 The Team studio in Murrells Inlet, South Carolina, with your boys, Pat Payone and Wally B.
Oh, what a great long weekend it was. But now today is a Moose Day. It's a Tuesday that feels like a Monday.
It does. It definitely does. We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Pat Payone and Wally B on The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team. Thank you for joining us today. Over the next 2 hours, some great topics, including a trade in the NBA that might shake up the landscape of the Western Conference. Got a lot of talk about, though. I mean, there was a trade in the NFL we'll talk about as well towards the end of the show. But starting off, how was your weekend? Yeah, did you do anything fun?
Let's see. Yeah, I did an 80th birthday party.
Nice.
Which is fun. Happy 80th to Papa, Grandpapa, and Great-Grandpapa Roger Adams and the family. It was a good time with them. And other than that, just chilled.
You slept
enjoyed
in?
The weather. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. Slept in good.
I was up in D.C. for the entire weekend. It was a great weekend as well with the family and the girlfriend and friends. And so,
nice.
Yeah, good time. But definitely happy to be back as well and back on the airwaves with you today. And starting off, let's talk about Coastal Carolina basketball. They had their Alabama swing as they made their first trip to Troy to take on the Trojans, and they ran into a hot shooting Trojans team. They ended up losing 87-78. The Trojans, who have now won three straight after winning that game, they shot 70% from the field into the final 7 minutes,
wow,
building as much as a 24-point lead with 4 minutes to go. But from there on, the Chanticleers made a late run to cut the lead down to the final 9-point margin, but the deficit was too great. The Chanticleers, with that loss, moved to 13-14 in the season, 8-6 inside the Sun Belt. Elijah Wilson and Siobhan Wiggins were leading scorers. Elijah Wilson, 17 points. Siobhan Wiggins, 14 points. They were the only two Chanticleers to go double figures. And you know, the storyline we've talked about all season long, Wally, is their inability not only to get to the line, but once they get to the line, to actually make those shots.
Yeah.
In this game, Coastal Carolina only shot 10 free throws. Yes, they made 9, but they only got to the line 10 times. I don't even know how to explain that the game was a 9-point loss with only 10 free throws. They got to make a better effort to get to the free throw line. But the Trojans with the win, 15-12, 7-6 inside the Sun Belt. And then you move to yesterday's game. They actually needed some overtime, but Coastal Carolina fought back from a 16-point first-half deficit to defeat South Alabama, 81-77 in overtime. Elijah Wilson led 4 players in double digits with a game-high 21 points. DeMario Beck had 18, Colt Ray-Sincere 15, Jalen Shaw added 10. The Chanticleers with this win, 14-14 on the season, so 500 right there, 9-6 inside the Sun Belt. And they also had 2 players record double-doubles, with Colt Ray-Sincere grabbing a team-high and game-high 16 rebounds. So he had 15 points, 16 rebounds. Huge game for Colton Ray-Sincere.
Yeah.
And DeMario Beck had 14 rebounds to go with his 18 points. So both of those guys had huge games. They out-rebounded South Alabama 51-30. I mean, when they out-rebound teams by a margin of more than 10, Coastal Carolina can go ahead and write that the W down in the books.
Oh, yeah.
But in the extra 5 minutes, Coastal Carolina scored first. South Alabama came right back and scored, then added a free throw on the shot to lead 71-70. That would be the final lead of the game as CCU took the lead for good on a DeMario Beck layup. And this game, they got to the free throw line, but they struggled. They got to the free throw line 23. They had 23 attempts from the free throw line, only hitting 12. There's just something missing. It's the free throw consistency. Whether it's getting to the free throw line or actually making the free throws, that's the consistency issue. South Alabama with the loss, 13-14, 6-8 inside the Sun Belt. And the Chanticleers will be back home for their next two outings on Saturday, February 25th. They will be taking on Louisiana Lafayette at home. That'll be a 4:30 tip-off on Saturday at the HTC Center. And then the following Monday at 7 p.m., they will be hosting Louisiana Monroe. And that will be senior day for the Chanticleers to send off their seniors with a welcome and a thank you. And then to wrap up the season, they're on the road Saturday, March 4th against Appalachian State in Boone, North Carolina. That leads into the Sun Belt Tournament where they need to make a run. Now, looking at the standings right now, Coastal Carolina is in fifth. They're pretty close. They really are. UT Arlington has a conference record of 11-3, Arkansas State 10-4, Georgia Southern 10-5, Georgia State 10-5, and then you have Coastal Carolina 9-6. So they can make up some room. Do I believe that they get to the number one seed or even the number two seed? That would be a tough task. But, you know, Louisiana Lafayette 6-8 inside the Sun Belt. Louisiana Monroe only one win, so you got to believe both of those are wins. Appalachian State 3-12, so they have the ability, Wally, to go on a 3-game winning streak to end the season. Well, actually, a 4-game winning streak with the win with South Alabama. So if they can win these last three games, I mean, depending on what the teams in front of them do, they could be up there in one of those top three seeds, and it could be interesting come conference tournament time. But a great weekend for Coastal Carolina sports, in general, and we'll give an entire segment towards the opening weekend for baseball as well. But Coastal basketball, just 3 games left in the regular season, so go out and support the Chanticleers in their final 2 home games, again, Saturday and Monday of this next weekend, coming up against Louisiana Lafayette on Saturday, Louisiana Monroe on Monday. All right, also got to touch on the pick'em contest that we had last Thursday. Wally, I'm tired of tying.
Two weeks in a row. Look out.
I went 4-4. Wally went 4-4. And our guest picker on Thursday, James Flynn, went 4-4. We all, James and I both got the Wizards over the Pacers. Wally picked the Pacers in that one. We all picked the Boston Celtics beating the Chicago Bulls. That did not happen.
Crazy.
Boston Celtics did not show up for that game. In one of the best college basketball games of the weekend, Kansas barely beat Baylor, and Wally and I got that correct. We all picked North Carolina to beat UVA, which happened. And then Wally was the only person to pick Wisconsin over Maryland, and that was a great game as well, Wisconsin pulling out the win at home in that one. Wally, you had it right. We had to pick the person who made it the first in the 3-point contest between all the K's, Klay Thompson, Kyrie Irving, Kemba Walker, and Kyle Lowry. And Kyrie Irving made it the furthest out of the two that
but
we
he
picked.
But he choked.
He did. It's okay. James and I both picked Klay Thompson, so Wally got the point.
Klay really choked in the first
round.
No
joke.
Yeah, I was surprised.
And then the slam dunk contest, Derrick Jones Jr. lost to Glenn Robinson the third, so I had Derrick Jones Jr. Aaron Gordon, who just could not connect on that drone drop, whatever you want to call it.
That's funny.
It was funny, but it kind of like, you know, it was such a wah, wah, wah.
Exactly. Wah, wah, wah.
It really could have been cool, but in the end, it took him like 5 tries. But James did get it right. He did pick Glenn Robinson the third, so he got that point. And then James and I both had the Western Conference winning the All-Star game. So everyone went 4-4. James, I will be giving you a phone call after today's show to let you know the prize and how you can pick that up from our station. So congratulations on tying us, because the tie goes to the listener.
Right.
All right. Oh, I don't even have my printout. I don't know where it is. Oh, it's right there on the table. Today's day for birthdays and today's day in history. Let me just jump up one second.
Yeah, go ahead and grab it. It's going to be a great week weather-wise, man. Got to like it. Going to have mid-60s today, 70s tomorrow, all the way through the weekend. A lot of sun and a few clouds and very little rain. Spring has sprung. Groundhog got it wrong.
Oh, I know.
So glad.
So we got to go back real quick. We didn't have a show for 2 days. We didn't have a show Friday and on Monday.
Right.
So on Friday, Michael Jordan and Jim Brown had their birthday. Are they not the best players of their respective sports?
I would say so.
I mean, do we botch this by taking Friday off and one of our best birthdays days of the history of the show so far?
We took it off to celebrate their birthday.
There we go. Thank you all. All right, getting back to today's day in birthdays. 1958, Alan Trammell, the Major League Baseball shortstop and manager of the Detroit Tigers, born on this day in 1958. Also born this day on February 21st, 1977, the franchise, Steve Francis, NBA point guard for the Rockets. That leads me to my sports birthday profile, Wally, who are our celebrity birthdays.
Do you remember back in the day when Michael Jackson had the baby and he put it over the balcony.
Blanket.
And people went crazy. Yeah, Blanket. Well, Blanket, whose real name is Prince Michael Jackson, is 11, or Prince Michael Jackson II. He's 15 today.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That's
time
nuts.
Flies, man.
Yeah.
And one half of Key and Peele, the Peele half, Jordan Peele, is 38 this morning. Jennifer.
Do you see their new movie, Keanu?
No, I haven't.
What a joke of a movie, but it's absolutely hilarious.
Is it?
Terrible, but hilarious.
Terribly hilarious.
Yes.
Jennifer Love Hewitt is 38. Party of Five.
Okay.
I Know What You Did Last Summer back in 97 in the CBS drama Ghost Whisperer in 2005. Remember back when the All-Star Cafe and Planet Hollywood had first opened up in Myrtle Beach? It's been like 96, I believe. They had this big red carpet VIP party. Big names were here for it, and all of us radio people were invited. And as I came up the red carpet, she was right behind me.
Oh,
and she was by herself. I want to go back to her and mack on her, but I didn't.
No, all the paparazzi was taking pictures of you, Wally, not her.
No, her. I actually didn't. There were more folks yelling for me than her because she had just come out, and a lot of folks didn't really know who she was because Party of Five had just started.
That's
so
hilarious.
Pretty funny. Kelsey Grammer is 62 today.
Kelsey Grammer,
isn't that crazy? Time's flying by.
Frasier.
Yep, and Mr. Gil Grissom on CSI, the actor William Peterson, is 64. Did you know he was also the star of the 86 movie Manhunter, which was the first movie to actually introduce the character of Hannibal Lecter?
I did not know that.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah,
that is crazy.
Anthony Daniels, you know who he is?
No.
He is the only actor to be in all 8 Star Wars flicks.
What?
Yep, he plays... Oop, that's wrong one. He plays... Here it is, I'm looking for. He plays... C-3PO.
Ah.
Yeah. 71 years old, Anthony Daniels. I was going to play the Star Wars disco theme. It's not kicking in here. See the there it is.
This is Star Wars?
Star Wars disco theme.
Okay.
You hear his all the beat stuff. But oh well, blew that one.
Never know what he looks like because he's got all that gold shelling on.
And lastly, this man, he's the co-founder of DreamWorks with Steven Spielberg and Jeffrey Katzenberg. And he also dated Cher back in the 70s, and people say that Cher made him turn gay.
Oh, yeah?
David Geffen is 74 today.
Nice.
And that's all I got.
All right, so our sports birthday profile, born on this day, 1925. 1925, old man. Dr. Jack Ramsey, American basketball coach. He actually was best known for coaching the Portland Trailblazers to the 1977 NBA title and for his broadcasting work with the Pacers, the Heat, and for ESPN TV and ESPN Radio. He is one of the most respected coaches in NBA history and a member of the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. He's also the winner of the Chuck Daly Lifetime Achievement Award for the 2009-2010 season. He coached at St. Joseph's from 1955 to 1966, then went on to coach the Philadelphia 76ers for 4 seasons, then the Buffalo Braves for 4 seasons, was with the Trailblazers for 10 seasons, where he did win that 1977 NBA title, and then finished his career coaching with the Indiana Pacers for 2 seasons until 1988. He was the NBA champion, as I mentioned, 1977 NBA All-Star Game head coach, 78. But as an executive, in 1967, he actually won an NBA championship as an executive as well. So,
nice.
But going through his career stats as a coach, he coached in 1,647 games, had 864 wins, 783 losses, which was a win-loss percentage of .525, had 102 playoff games under his belt with 44 wins, 58 losses, and a winning percentage of 43%. Great coach, but he was more of a contributor to basketball, and he was always... You know, Dr. Jack Ramsey, he says this, he says that. I remember growing up and hearing Dr. Jack Ramsey doing his broadcasts.
Yeah.
And he was just one of those guys that, you know, I didn't really know what his history was, but you know you had to respect everything he said because he was just that lore around him.
Yeah, back then. He was like the Zen master before the Zen master.
Exactly. All right, Wally, let's get into today's day in history. And I start off in 1948.
1878, 139 years ago, New Haven, Connecticut, the first telephone directory was issued.
Oh, yeah?
It contained a whopping 50 whole names. Isn't that
crazy?
Wow. Then I go to 1931 from there.
50, that's like on like a quarter of a page now.
That's like Sockisty or something.
Yeah. All right, what was your next
one? 1931.
All right, you have the next one as well. I have 48.
In 1931, this product first hit the shelves in the commercial.
Alka-Seltzer, plop, plop, biscuit. Oh, what a leaf it is.
Wow.
To this day, still quite useful when you've had too much garbage in your belly to eat.
What an incredible jingle.
Yeah. One of the very first ones. Gold.
What a relief it is. What a relief.
I used to like just putting them in the mouth and let them fizzle. I wouldn't even drink the water.
That's gross.
As a kid, I'm like, what are you doing? You're crazy. You're crazy. So Alka-Seltzer, 86 years ago. Happy birthday to Alka-Seltzer. 1931, it first came out. Then I go to 1947 from there.
You have the next one as well.
70 years ago, Edwin H. Land demonstrated the first self-developing instant camera. It produced an interracial photograph, black and white. In 60 seconds, he called it the Polaroid. Shake it like a Polaroid picture. Then I go to 1968.
All right, 1948 for me. NASCAR is incorporated, the family-owned and operated business venture that sanctions and governs multiple auto racing sporting events. Bill France Sr. founded the company in 1948, and his grandson Brian France became the CEO in 2003. NASCAR's motorsport preeminent stock car racing organization. It's the third largest racing series sanctioned by this company. The three largest are the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, the Xfinity Series, and the Camping World Truck Series. NASCAR sanctions over 1,500 races at over 100 tracks in 39 of the 50 U.S. states, as well in Canada. NASCAR's official headquarters, Daytona Beach, Florida, but also maintains offices in North Carolina cities of Charlotte, Concord, and Conover. And their roots all can be found throughout the South, but it is actually second to the NFL among professional sports franchises in terms of television viewers and fans in the United States, even to this day. Internationally, its races are broadcast on televisions in over 150 countries. In 2004, NASCAR's director of security stated the company holds 17 of the top 20 regularly attended single-day sporting events in the world.
Wow.
That's pretty incredible. I then go to 1953.
1968. All right. You go.
On this day, 1953, the longest collegiate basketball game, six overtimes at this time, happened. It was where Niagara defeated Siena 88-81. It was a six overtime game. Niagara's Ed Fleming played all 70 minutes, and teammate Larry Costello played all but 20 seconds before fouling out. As a result, Fleming actually changed his uniform number to 70. Costello's was changed to 69 because that's how many minutes he played. I thought that was pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
But right now, it is not the longest game. The longest game in collegiate basketball history is in 2009 between Syracuse and UConn. Six overtimes as well. Syracuse defeated UConn 127-117 in the Big East tournament semifinals. It was absolutely incredible. It nearly took 4 hours to complete and ended at 1:22 a.m. My next one is 1969.
1968, 51 years ago, the minimum annual salary for Major League Baseball players became $10,000.
That's ridiculous.
51 years ago.
That's so ridiculous.
Last year, the base salary was $507,500.
Oh, unbelievable.
Isn't that crazy how far we've come?
I also have a baseball one to wrap up my part of this day in history.
I got one more. It's 81, so you go ahead.
I have 69. So on this day, 1969, Ted Williams signs a five-year contract to manage the Washington Senators. Now, interestingly enough, they were owned by James Johnston and James Lemon. They were Washington stockbrokers. They owned the team briefly, suffering massive financial losses. Johnston ended up dying in 1967. Lemon sold the team a year later to hotel and trucking executive Bob Short, who outbid a group headed by Bob Hope for the Washington Senators. Yeah. Short, you know, in his one of his first things he did, he named and hired Hall of Famer Ted Williams as the manager. Ted Williams had never coached, never managed at any level of baseball, but he seemed to light a spark under the once morbid Senators. He kept them in contention for most of the season. Their record, 86-76, would be their only winning season in Washington. The success was brief, though. Short ended up borrowing most of $9.4 million he had used to pay for the team, and as the general manager of the Senators, he was forced to make so many questionable trades to lower the debt, acquire amounts of much-needed revenue, and as a result, the team rapidly fell back to the American League's seller position. The team then picked up and moved to Arlington, Texas to become the Texas Rangers. During that offseason, you know, they had made improvements to the stadium at that time, but So that they renamed it in the offseason to the Texas Rangers. They played their first game in that stadium in 1972, April 15th, where they lost 1-0 to the expansion California Angels. The next day, they also defeated the Angels 5-1 for the club's first victory. After that season, Ted Williams did retire as the manager, and he had no secret of his displeasure with the franchise's new location. That was one of the main reasons why he walked away, is because he did not want to manage a team in the state of Texas. Pretty interesting.
Hilarious.
All right, Wally, go ahead and bring us
the last one. 36 years ago, 1981, when this Monster Jam went number one for Dolly Parton. Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living. 36 years ago. Crazy.
That is crazy.
And it's been all downhill for her since. Downhill, all that big pile of cash she'd be making. Especially at Pirates Voyage here in Myrtle Beach, you know, after the Dixie Stampede. So,
you have any further?
Anyway, that's it.
We're done then. Let's tell the folks what they're hearing on today's show. It is Tuesday, but we will go through our good, bad, and ugly today, as it is the first show of the week for us. We already talked about Coastal Carolina getting the split on their Alabama trip. We talked about our tie for second week in a row in the Pick'em contest. We will go through our good, bad, and ugly. We will give two segments to the DeMarcus Cousins to the New Orleans Pelicans trade. First talking about the Pelican side and how this can affect their season, and then talking about the Kings side. And just how much of a travesty this trade was for them. We will go through Wally B's World of Sports, kick off the 8 o'clock hour. Coastal Carolina baseball opening weekend recap will kick off right after Wally B's World of Sports. Then we'll talk about the Dolphins trading for tight end Julius Thomas from the Jaguars. I think that's a pretty interesting trade if you ask me. We'll wrap up the show with Final Word, What to Watch, and a preview of tomorrow's show. Going through the polls on Twitter for you. What is your good, your bad, your ugly from the weekend in sports? Will the Pelicans make the playoffs now that they have Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins? Yes or no? Do the Pelicans have the best big man duo in the NBA? You can vote for three options. Easily, yes or no? Did the Kings get enough in return for DeMarcus Cousins? Yes or no? Will the Kings GM Vlade Divac keep his job after the season? Yes or no? And what grade do you give the Dolphins' acquisition of tight end Julius Thomas? A, B, C, D, or lower? All those polls can be found on Twitter at 100 through the team. Want to hear from you guys? 843-652-3776. Again, 843-652-3776. When we come back from this first commercial break, good, bad, and ugly on the drive.
The computers are frozen.
I thought today was Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Tuesday!
What up, my Gippa?
Good morning, sexy.
It's wake up time.
I'm in a nightmare, and I can't wake up.
You can really tell who is a morning person and who is not.
If you're not in bed, it's work.
A reminder that we broadcast live.
It's showtime.
Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team.
Welcome back to The Drive, 28 and a half minutes past the hour, and it is Tuesday, not Monday, but it is our first show of the week, so let's do our good, bad, and ugly.
It's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly from the weekend in sports.
You know what, Wally? Let's start it off a little differently. Let's go to the phone lines. We got Dennis on the line. Dennis want to give us his good, bad, and ugly. So, Dennis, what do you got?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for putting me on. First of all, the good has got to be our local hero, Dustin Johnson. Awesome win out in L.A.
Definitely.
I think he's completely turned his life around. We know all his trials and tribulations. He is so primed this year to win at least two majors, in my opinion.
Ooh.
I think the Masters and the U.S. Open. That's definitely the good for the weekend. And you can combine the bad and the ugly into this NBA All-Star just debacle. I mean, what they've done to this is just horrendous. I mean, you know, the celebrity game that they put on with these, like, B-level celebrities. and then the game itself. I mean, I play more defense down at the YMCA on 62nd on the weekends than they do on that game. That game has turned into a dunk fest, alley-oop fest.
Yeah.
I just couldn't even watch it. I really had to turn it off. That really is the bad and ugly. I mean, in my opinion, they should do a Legends game, okay? Bring back Dr. J or Michael Jordan or Bird or guys that are capable in their 50s and 60s of playing some basketball that are legends. let them come out and play for 20 minutes. That'll be a lot more enjoyable from what I saw this weekend. I don't know what you guys' opinion.
Very interesting perspective. Thanks for the phone call, Dennis. And I got a couple of the same ones. Thank you for the phone
here.
Call. Yeah. starting off with my good, yes, Myrtle Beach's own Dustin Johnson winning the Genesis Open and gaining the number one world ranking has got to be a, if not a good, a great. He's really like Dennis said, he's turned around his entire life and his game is progressed in the last couple of years. You've seen it since he, you know, got away from all the trouble he was in. And he has turned into, you know, his world ranking says it, the number one player in the world. Week in and week out, he is towards the top of those leaderboards each and every PGA Tour event. Also, you know, a good from the All-Star game. I got a couple of goods from the All-Star game. You know, Anthony Davis, I mean, he actually proclaimed ahead of the game that he was going to win the MVP award, and he did just that. Now, he did take an All-Star record 39 shots and scored 52 points to lead the West over the East at
the
66. He had
gonorrhea.
Yeah, he did. they won 192 and 182 in the highest scoring game in league history. But what's more impressive, his point total, and he's only 23 years old, by the way, it previously bested the record of 42 points set by Wilt Chamberlain in 1962. So, yes, you know, he did take a lot of shots, but he's still getting 52 points in this game, breaking the record by Wilt Chamberlain. Definitely got to be a good as well. He also added 10 rebounds to go along with that and held off the late MVP charge by Thunder guard Russell Westbrook, who had 41.7 assists and 5 rebounds. My other good... you know, a lot of the talk going into this All-Star weekend was the Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook saga. Were they going to be able to coexist on a court together? Well, I mean, there's no secret. These guys don't like each other. They haven't been talking to each other. And even when they were warming up, Westbrook actually warmed up on the other side of the court from the Western team by himself.
Yeah.
So it was very interesting to see that. But when the game started, you know, they found themselves on the court at the same time and even connected on an alley-oop. But that's not the good. It's how the Western Conference All-Star team reacted to the alley-oop when there was a timeout call. They all surrounded them and clapped and they were cheering them on. It was a pretty good, and you know, Durant and Westbrook both smiled at it, so I thought that was pretty good. Finally, good, the actual ratings for this game. They actually had an average audience of 7.8 million viewers. What were you doing Sunday night, folks, that you were watching this terrible broadcast?
Yeah.
I mean, that's good for them, but I think it's a bad that we had, you know, even the peak was 8.5 million people and the total audience was up 3% from last year's game. Was it the intrigue of Durant and Westbrook? It's gotta be.
There's just nothing else on.
That's true too. my bad, you know, it came out, you know, that former St. Louis Cardinals pitcher Rick Ankiel, it's one of the most bizarre stories of the MLB history. You know, he was one of the more promising pitchers and it came crashing down in an instant, and, you know, it was all because of that infamous start in Game 1 of the 2000 NLDS where he had 5 wild pitches in that game against the Atlanta Braves. But that's not the bad part of this. He said, you know, before a game, actually this was the next season, he was going up against the Arizona Diamondbacks and starting against Randy Johnson. He said, before the game, I'm scared to death. I know that I have no chance. And this was an interview on 590, The Fan in St. Louis. He said, feeling the pressure of all that right before the game, I got a bottle of vodka. I just started drinking vodka. Lo and behold, it kind of tamed the monster and I was able to do what I wanted. I'm sitting on the bench feeling crazy. I have to drink vodka to pitch through this. It worked for that game. I had never drank before a game before this one. It was one of those things like the yips, the monster, the disease. It didn't fight fair, so I wasn't going to fight fair either. The fact that you have to go out and drink vodka before a game just to get yourself in control, that's got to be a bad right there. Also, you know, the New York, you know, buzz, the New York Knicks buzz, you know, the All-Star weekend's over, but the drama with the New York Knicks will still continue, at least until the trade deadline. I mean, this is going to be continuously talked until we go to the trade deadline about, is Carmelo Anthony going to be moved? I don't want to talk about that anymore, but he is bringing attention to himself even when he gets asked a question. Instead of deflecting the question away and not answering it, he's actually answering the questions. That's what's the bad for me. Just move on. If you're not going to trade Carmelo Anthony, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to hear about it. A couple different uglies, you know, and I'll talk about the Kings trade to DeMarcus Cousins. That was a terrible trade for the Kings. So that's got to be one ugly. But also, I'm going to say the actual dunk contest. It was just nothing, had no flash to me. I mean, congratulations to Glenn Robinson III, the new dunk king. But the there's just no originality anymore. The drone drop was one of the more original things, and that sucked because it took whatever his name is, 5 attempts to try and throw it down. Aaron Gordon of Orlando.
Yeah, what happened to getting 3 attempts and that round's done?
I think the dunk contest has seen its day. I actually heard an interesting argument yesterday about bringing some of these street ballers, just go around the country and bring in the 4 best street ballers, street dunkers in the country. You can have contests that aren't televised and bring them to the NBA All-Star game and $1 million to the winner, you know, from a guy who's not in the NBA.
There you go.
I think that would be more interesting to see these guys who, first of all, we don't even know their names. Yeah. They don't even play. I mean, the guy that I picked, Derrick Jones Jr., doesn't even have 20 minutes of total game time in the NBA. I mean, he was in the D League earlier this season.
Crazy.
But also the skills challenge. 2 years in a row, we haven't had a guy in a skills challenge that includes dribbling, passing, agility, and shooting that is over 7 feet tall. How does that happen when this league is now moved to a guard type of league?
Exactly.
But last year, Karl-Anthony Towns was 7 foot. This year, Kristaps Porzingis, who is 7'3". Those two guys won the last 2 skills competition. There's just something wrong with that. I had to put that in as an ugly as well.
You got to rethink it.
Yeah, something's got to change about that. All right, Wally, what is your good, your bad, your ugly?
My good was the Westbrook to Durant to Westbrook pass, yeah. Pass.
That was
and
pretty
then,
cool.
And then the alley-oop, and I was like, okay, I'm like giving the fans what they want. Yeah. That was great. And again, one of the most memorable moments that will go down in NBA All-Star Game history is when the team surrounded the dam and did the old hands in the air thing.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That was a moment that will go down forever. That was pretty cool. Cool. I like that. The bad, just the game more raw, as you said.
Yeah, so
they need to do something. You know, bring in the legends, like Dennis said. Bring in the best street ballers. Let them take on the NBA All-Star team, or play the Globetrotters. I mean,
that'd be interesting.
It's become too comical now.
You know?
You know, it was. I did like seeing Stephen get the slam though by the Greek player a couple times.
Giannis
Antetokounmpo. Yeah, yeah. And then the way he laid down, he came back on the court. He just laid down and said, "Go ahead, take the." Slam it up. Don't hurt me, please.
There was another interesting comment on sports radio when I was making my drive from D.C. back home, or back to Myrtle Beach. Why not, you know, right now the winner of the All-Star game only gets $50,000. Yeah. That's like chunk change to these guys. That's nothing.
For sure.
The loser gets $25,000. Why not put a little bit more on the line? I'm not saying that they would play because of more money, but instead of them actually getting the money, put their best, their favorite charities on the line, and whoever wins gets
exactly
those things.
Thing.
And the MVP of the game gets $2 million towards their charity or something like that.
Yeah.
Something crazy.
These
guys don't care.
Every player should pick a charity, and that money should go to that charity.
I agree.
And then the overall winners, like you said, get a big chunk to go to their charity to top it off. That would be excellent. My ugly, and I'll elaborate more on this during my World of Sports here in the next hour, is Kyrie Irving saying that the earth is flat and meaning it, and really meaning it, saying it with conviction. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I cannot wait to hear your take on that one.
Ooh.
Keep going on Twitter, at 100 through the team on Twitter, to let us know your good, your bad, your ugly. We will read those throughout the show. Got to let you know a presenting sponsor of The Drive is HTC. HTC, this is life. Connect with it. And it doesn't matter if you're a power user or accustomed to lightning-fast downloads, or someone who just needs to check your email, HTC High Speed Internet has a plan and pricing perfect for you. HTC High Speed Internet has installation and 24/7 tech support, all for free with no hidden equipment fees. For more details, please call HTC High Speed Internet at 843-369-8982. Again, that phone number, 843-369-8982. HTC, this is life. Connect with it.
If you're a man at night, you got to be a man in the morning.
I'm here when you get here in the morning. Sure enough, I'll be there tucking you into bed at night.
I hate morning radio.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team. Ken Fayone and Wally B are always wrong, so tell them about it. 843-652-3776. The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team.
You know what I want to say when I hear that music? Boom shakalaka. It's like NBA Jam back in the day. That's awesome. Welcome back to The Drive. 41 and a half minutes past the hour. Papillon and Wally B. And so I'm having brunch with my girlfriend and her best friend. And they have SportsCenter on one of the TVs. And, of course, I'm engaged in that while they're having their girl conversation.
Right.
And we're eating our breakfast. And all of a sudden, you know, it comes by. I hadn't checked ESPN.com or anything to see, or Twitter, to see what had happened the night before. Mm-hmm. And I see DeMarcus Cousins now join the Pelicans. I'm like, what happened while I was sleeping? So to talk about this real quick, The Pelicans acquired DeMarcus Cousins and swingman Omni Capri, or Caspi, sorry, while sending Buddy Hield, Tyreek Evans, Langston Galloway, a 2017 first-round pick, and a 2017 second-round pick to the Sacramento Kings. Now, that had me go, wow.
Yeah.
This deal is absolutely terrible for the Kings, and we will talk about that in just a little bit. For the Pelicans, this makes them an instant, not contender, but an instant team to make the playoffs in the West. And right now, they're a couple games out of the last spot in the Western Conference, but adding a talent of DeMarcus Cousins, who's averaging 27.8 points, 10.6 rebounds this season, you know, this is the best big man duo in the NBA now with Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah.
I was just absolutely shocked that this actually went down. And we'll, like I said, we're going to talk about the Kings aspect of this. But who's the big winner in this? I think DeMarcus Cousins is the big winner in this. He gets an unbelievable opportunity here. He gets to start over in a new city that will embrace him, and he's closer to home as he grew up in Alabama. I mean, this is a traditional redemption story. A guy who has had so many issues with losing his top on the court. I mean, just absolutely being one of the most mentally destructive players in the NBA currently, you know, with his 17 technicals and receiving a suspension because of that. He has the ability to change the storyline of his career by moving to New Orleans and going with one of his former Wildcat Kentucky, alumni, Anthony Davis. Now, I think this is a really interesting move, as these are two of the top 10 players in the NBA, in my opinion, especially the top center in the NBA with DeMarcus Cousins, and possibly one of the top two power forwards in the NBA in Anthony Davis. I love this move for the New Orleans Pelicans. They didn't give up much. I mean, Buddy Hield, he was the number 6 overall pick. Yes, he could turn into a great player, but as right now, he is not a special talent that you can take in and build an entire team around with him and Anthony Davis. I think you can build an entire team around Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins, and I think this poses a interesting threat to the Western Conference. If they were to get to the playoffs, first of all, as the 8th seed, they would go up against the Golden State Warriors. And what has the Golden State Warriors' Achilles heel been in the Western Conference? The Memphis Grizzlies.
Right.
Now, why? Because the Memphis Grizzlies have the two-man combo of Marc Gasol and the other guy's name is escaping my... They're big guys. And Golden State gets out-rebounded by the Memphis Grizzlies almost each and every game, and they pose bigger threats than the San Antonio Spurs, than the Clippers, because of their ability to slow down the game and play, you know, down in the trenches of the NBA basketball game.
Right.
That is something now that the Pelicans will have the ability to do with two of the top offensive players at their positions in the NBA, Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins. I love this deal for the Pelicans. They need to go ahead and try and figure out what they can do with the small guys on their lineup, because I don't know, and maybe they won't be able to do anything this year or even next year, but I think this is the interesting thing for the Pelicans. You now have the ability to change, you know, with the landscape of the NBA going point guard, shooting guard, even a small forward who can all shoot the three. Everyone, you know, spread out around the three-point line, and we'll find you, and you can go ahead and shoot the three. This now brings the game back to, like, the 80s version of the NBA, where it was big men, big men, big men. Yeah, posted up, you know. And not to mention, these are also two of the best three-point shooting big men in the NBA as well. So they have the ability to do both.
That's crazy.
It's going to be very interesting to see how the rest of the season plays out for the New Orleans Pelicans. But, you know, I love this deal. I think it's also huge for Anthony Davis, who has never gotten really any help, and the help that the Pelicans have gotten for him just hasn't turned out to be great. Adding a talent like DeMarcus Cousins next to you takes a lot of pressure off Anthony Davis. Now, both of these guys are going to play great together, I believe. It will take some time, so you probably won't be looking at the first 2 weeks of the NBA, you know, coming back from the All-Star break and saying, you know, they're going to just light the NBA on fire.
Right.
It'll take some time for them to acclimate playing with each other. But I really like this deal. I also think Drew Holiday is a big winner in this. He's the point guard for the Pelicans, and he's been lights out for the past two seasons. But mainly, you know, the pressure's going to be taken off him. He's had a lot of injury woes. He's a master at the pick and roll, and he's going to have two monster guys that not only he can dish the ball to, but do the screen game with. I mean, imagine a dual screen set with Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins, one rolling to the rim and one popping out for a shot. I mean, there's going to be more space for Jrue Holiday to work the offense as the point guard. I love this move. I really do. All right, let's go to the phone lines. James, what do you think about this trade from the DeMarcus Cousins to the Pelicans? Do you think that this puts them into the contention of getting into the playoffs in the Western Conference?
Yeah, they're not going to get past 8 feet, though. But, you know, there's one player I really think could have benefited from this whole thing. And if they could have kept Buddy Hield.
Yeah.
And I think that's what he is a really good shooter, but he's not getting the open looks like he would with DeMarcus and Anthony Davis both out there. If they could have kept Buddy Hield and gave away something else, that I think that's what he needed to get his NBA career started. Jump started.
The problem with that is that there was nothing else on the Pelicans to give away. And the owner for the Kings, Vivek Renadive, you know, he thinks that Buddy Hield has the ability, the potential to be Steph Curry-like. And so he is in love with Buddy Hield. So that needed to be part of the trade.
And I don't think DeMarcus Cousins is really a true star. I mean, because if you're a true star in the league with no one else on your team, you can get 40 wins in NBA season. And, I mean, look, Melo, when he was in his prime, he used to carry the Nuggets by himself. And he hasn't won, I think the most games he's won in his career is 32, and the rest are like 28, 29. And, I mean, if you're going to be considered a true star in the NBA, you should be able to carry your team 40 wins.
That's a very valid point. You're right. I don't think he's a superstar-level NBA player, but I do think he's a star. He is the best big man center in the NBA, in my opinion.
Someone like Anthony Davis, though.
Oh, I think so, too. I love this trade.
I think it should help. I think it'll go both ways.
Appreciate the call. And by the way, we all tied, James, just to let you know. All of us had 4-4 records from this past weekend.
Yeah, I heard that.
That's ridiculous. I'll give you a call after the show and let you know what you can pick up from our station. But good job on tying us. Appreciate the phone call. Yeah, thank you. You as well. You know, who else is really loving this trade? John Calipari. Because didn't we just talk about this a week ago? If there was a team of Kentucky players, he believes that they could win the NBA championship.
Yeah,
he's just two of the five pieces away now. And there's starting to be rumors now that John Calipari is the next head coach of the Pelicans. That's not happening, folks. He's not leaving the University of Kentucky to go coach, you know, two of the five Kentucky players.
Yeah.
He had some pretty interesting things to say, and we will talk about that and also the aspect of the trade for the Kings on this actual trade coming up right after this break on The Drive.
Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team, with your boys, Pat Payone and Wally B.
Welcome back to The Drive, Sports Radio 100.3, The Team, Hour 2 of The Drive on Tuesday, February 21st, 2017. Pat Payone and Wally B hanging out with you. And whether you're listening on your radio at 100.3 FM, streaming it live through our website, TeamMyrtleBeach.com, or listening through our free app, the Sports Radio 100.3, The Team app, we welcome you to today's show. And if you missed the first hour, I'm sure we'll be continuing a couple of these conversations, but we talked about Coastal Carolina basketball getting the split on their Alabama trip, and they will have 3 games to wrap up the regular season, 2 at home, and then they finish the regular season on the road at Appalachian State. We also went through our good, bad, and ugly, and we just talked about the Cousins trade to the Pelicans in 2 different segments, one from the Pelicans side and one from the Kings side. Let's go to the phone lines real quick before we get into Wally B's World of Sports. We've got Sam on the line. Sam, what's going on, my man?
Hey, man, just a quick, you know, I'm not the basketball guy, but just a kind of outside looking in. Anytime anyone says, and he starts ending off by, you know, he was a great guy, or I love him a lot, but, you know, that means, one, he was a cancer in the locker room. Let's be honest. You know, he's been cancerous there. You know, with the coach, and it just was a lot of animosity.
Oh yeah.
Plus, I mean, what did they? It's been there, what, 3 or 4 years? I don't know. I'm sure it's been about 2 or 3 years, and they haven't gone anywhere with him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So why stay stuck? you know, make a move, get a younger player in there, and hopefully you get a decent lottery pick for him, and it turns out in your favor. That team has been a dumpster fire for a long time, and
yeah.
it's just been fodder for pundits to talk about how, you know, about that relationship between Boogie Cousins and the coach.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it'll follow him, you know, down to New Orleans, you know, so it's, he's got that T.O. stink on him, man, is what it sounds like to me.
He does. You are right. Thank you for the phone call, Sam. Appreciate it. Is this like one of the most apathetic franchises outside of the Cleveland Browns? It might be.
Pretty much.
It might be.
It's still good to have company.
It is. All right. It is the first segment of the 8 o'clock hour, so you know what time that is.
It's time for Wally B's World of Sports. Life is a sport. Play it like a winner.
Oh, yes. Tuesday feels like a moose day. That's a Monday. I mean, a Tuesday that feels like a Monday for those who didn't work and some who did work yesterday. I came in to work the other station last night, but of course it was great to sleep in. But of course, NBA All-Star Weekend took place over the President's Day weekend. Kyrie Irving, NBA star, in a podcast before the All-Star Weekend, I believe it was on Friday, he said, because none of the satellites we send into space ever come back, and we can't trust information from scientists, he truly believes the Earth is flat.
Ben Diggles, this is a shout out to you. He came to us and he listens to Super Conspiracy
Theory
Guy.
This is not even conspiracy.
The Earth is flat.
No, the Earth is flat.
Oh, here we go.
The Earth is flat. For what I've known for as many years and
what
I've come to believe, what I've been taught is that the Earth is round.
Yes.
But I mean, if you really think about it from a landscape of the way we travel, the way
what?
We move, and the fact that, can you really think of us rotating around the sun and all planets aligned, rotating in specific dates, being perpendicular with what's going on with these planets and stuff like this.
How are you going to put planets in quotations?
I'm going to put planets because everything that they send or they want to say that they're sending.
They thought Pluto was a planet until like 4 years ago.
It doesn't come back. There's no concrete information except for the information that they're giving us.
Okay, Kyrie, here's a cup. Pee in it.
That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. No, I completely agree. Okay. Drug test that man right now.
Kyrie, your play can be flat at times as well, but, you know, your head's still round.
Unbelievable.
I was like, was he being facetious? I mean, he sounded totally serious, like he's trying to convince you.
No, it's terrible.
I mean, there are conspiracy theorists who believe that, but I'm like, oh.
Absolutely terrible.
I'm like, what?
Are you kidding me?
Huh? What's, I mean,
you're dumb.
Are crazy? What's up
dumb.
With that? And as we talked about earlier, congrats to our man in Coastal grad, Dustin Johnson, the number one golfer in the world, like you said earlier, got his life together, got his game together, and it apparently has transcended into the bedroom because he and his fiance model, Paulina Gretzky,
yeah.
daughter of the great one,
yep.
are having their second child. Yeah.
Oh, congratulations.
Paulina, who's 28, she revealed the news on Instagram on Saturday, posting a pic of her sitting cross-legged on the bed near the couple's pet dog, wearing a tight, nude, off-the-shoulder sweater and rubbing her baby bump while holding an ultrasound photo, and it said, "We have another one on the way." So I thought that was kind of neat.
Very cool.
And TMZ Sports caught up with Steve Sarkisian at the Atlanta airport, and they asked him, "Hey, remember last week or 2 weeks ago we saw you asked you about if you'd like to be in the NFL, and now you are. What do you think of that?" And then they asked him about the many people talking about those last plays Atlanta ran when they didn't run and they tried passing the ball. And Sarkisian, you know, was nice. And his response, though, he did seem to be that he was in sort of a hurry.
Hey, how you doing, coach? Good to see you, man. Hey, congratulations on the new gig.
Thank you.
I spoke with you just a few weeks ago and asked you if you'd ever be interested in coaching in the NFL and look what happened.
Yeah. Crazy how the world works. You get great opportunities. Let's try to take advantage of it.
That's awesome. So what are you most excited about getting back to the NFL? I know you used to be a quarterback's coach for the Raiders years ago.
Yeah, just being with a good organization, a good head coach, so I'm excited about it.
Are you going to make any changes to the offense over there in Atlanta, or have you already thought about that?
We got a lot of work to do. You know, there's a lot of process to it all, so we'll see what happens. Appreciate the time, though.
I got one more question. A lot of people are saying the last run at the Super Bowl that they should have ran a ground game. Would you have done anything different?
Every game's different. You know, everybody, you know, you make your calls and you live with them and you do the best you can through preparation. And I know they're proud of getting there and getting to that point, but you got something to strive for now.
Yeah, something to strive for now. Very nice. Where'd my music go? It's not playing here. Did I hit a button here or something?
I don't know.
That's weird. Let me try this again here. There it is. And moving on.
It's back.
TMZ also caught up with The Answer, Allen Iverson.
Yeah.
He was out and about in NOLA for the All-Star weekend with the NBA, and they asked him about the three-on-three league where he's going to be coaching and playing, and he talked about how he would Kobe join him? Did he wish he would? And talked about who he'd like to have on his team, and that he actually plans to do more coaching than playing when the league kicks in.
What do you think of that Boogie Cousins trade?
I know it's good for the Pelicans.
Did Sacramento make a mistake, though, you know, letting Boogie Cousins go, trading him?
Man, I don't know, bro. You know what I mean? I ain't no executive in this thing. But all I know is they got a great player, man.
Right. Hey, look, fans are excited to see you in the Big Three League, man. It's going to be crazy. You know, should Kobe join you guys in the Big Three League or what? You want to see Kobe?
I hope he would, but I know he ain't going to do nothing.
Why not?
But that would be a dream of mine.
It's a dream to play against Kobe again, right?
No, like, to play with him.
Oh, you want to play with him?
Yeah.
Well, what's your message?
And then my whole thing is I want Shaq to play with me too.
Oh,
but,
wow.
It ain't going to go down like that. It'd be too easy. But I'm going to do a whole lot of coaching instead of
too easy.
Oh, you can do more coaching.
Yeah.
Is that your goal? You want to coach in the NBA?
Who?
You.
Hell no.
Why not?
Because I ain't coaching no more that make more money than me. How the hell I'm going to tell them anything?
That point.
But you're AI. You're the Hall of Fame.
A legend is a legend. They can't take that away from you.
As a groupie steps in, he was getting in the SUV, and you hear the boom, the bass in the car, etc. So, Iverson wants to have Kobe and Shaq on his team. Then he would play more than he'd coach, I would bet. That'd be pretty neat to see a 3-on-3 team of them three.
That'd be amazing.
You know? Wonder how that league's gonna actually do. Is it gonna be interesting, or is it gonna be a joke?
I don't know. I think it has the potential to be interesting for like a year, and then it'll be a joke after that.
Yeah, true. I guess it depends on who they can get to come out of retirement and play. Well, as we talked about last week, a movie's in the works on Tom Brady and Super Bowl 51, and people are petitioning for someone who is totally boring and unlikable to portray Bill Belichick. Someone like Rosie O'Donnell. Yeah, they're actually petitioning out there. That crazy. So look for the movie on Tom Brady and Super Bowl 51 to be in theaters sometime next year. Theaters everywhere except Atlanta.
Yeah, nothing. Not being played there.
They don't want to see it.
Wonder if they're selling Sam Adams now in Atlanta.
Yeah, that'd be funny. A new study says Los Angeles has the worst traffic in the world. But L.A. residents say, hey, they don't care because when you're at a dead stop in traffic, you can take a much better selfie and put it on Instagram or Facebook or something. So they're fine with that. And someone in Canada found $100,000 hidden in a TV about to be recycled. So, counting Howie Mandel, that's two Canadians who undeservedly found money on TV. Or in TV.
Jeez.
You know what I'm saying? And an Army command post in Washington State has officially banned the playing of Nickelback music.
Good.
And so has most Americans with ears. So,
yeah.
Moving on. Alex Trebek was rapping Drake style and more on Jeopardy over the weekend. If you missed it, here it is.
Let's rap, kids. Started from the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team here. Lily.
What is Drake?
Good. Back to you, Julia.
Let's rap for 600, please.
Buy a chopper and have a doctor on speed dial, I guess. Mad City. Julia.
Who is Kendrick Lamar?
Right.
Let's rap for 800, please.
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot bunch. Young Money Militia, and I am the commissioner. You don't want to start wheezy, because the F is for finisher. Alex.
Who is Kanye West?
No.
No.
Lily.
Who's Lil Wayne?
Lil Wayne, yeah.
Let's rap for 1,000.
Panda, 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 panda. Lily.
Who is designer?
Designer, yes. I was just getting into this rap thing. I'm not too good at it, but I was getting into it.
Wow.
He did pretty good, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounded perfect.
You gotta give him a beat and have him keep on going, if you know what I'm saying.
Panda.
That is just crazy. And lastly, there's a college kid in Pennsylvania who got a care package from his mom a few weeks ago. That turned out to be a box of trash he was supposed to take out when he was home
for
winter break, and he didn't take it out. And mom said, you know what? I'm sick of him not doing the things he's supposed to do, paying for his education, giving the allowance, et cetera, et cetera.
Good for
you. So she sent him the trash. And now he took a picture of it and the garbage, and it's on Twitter and it's going viral. So kids,
good for you, mom.
Let that be a lesson. Take the garbage out. Do what your parents tell you when they tell you and be done with it. Don't try to step aside because you may be sent some trash, my mom or dad.
Good for you, mom.
And that wraps up this Alex Trebek, rapping edition of Wally B's World of Sports.
That was absolutely awesome.
Remember that life is a sport. Play it like a winner. Appreciate every moment of every day because now is a gift. That's why it's called the present. And count your blessings. Forget those stressings, radio family and team members.
Thank going to Twitter real quick. Mr. Williams writes in, I guess Coach Calipari got two of his five wishes. Yes, he did, getting DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis on the same team. But, you know, he came out and said, I'm not going to be coaching in the NBA. Going through the polls again, will the Pelicans make the playoffs now that they have Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins? 70% say yes, 30% say no. I think it would be more interesting to see the Pelicans get to the 7 or 6 seed now. Will that happen? Probably not. They'd more likely be the 8th seed in the NBA if they do make it in the Western Conference.
Hope they get in. It'd be nice.
I want them to get in. I would love to see them as the 7th seed because I want to see, you know, if they can go ahead and win that first round series. I want to see them take on the Warriors a little bit later on instead of just that first series.
Yeah,
but that first series could be pretty interesting. Do the Pelicans have the best big man duo in the NBA? 55% say easily the best big man duo. 18% say yes. 27% say no. Did the Sacramento Kings get enough in return for DeMarcus Cousins? That's got to be a resounding no. 94% say no. 6% say yes. Those are some Indiana Buddy Hield fans. And then finally, will Sacramento Kings GM Vlade Divac keep his job after the season? Wally, after this terrible trade, you say no. I say no as well. Even though I think this was probably handed down from above him from the owner.
Yeah.
You're still the GM. This is still associated with you. 50% say yes, that he will keep his job. 50% say no.
He's probably just a yes man anyway.
He probably is. I mean, you're probably right there. I like what the Pelicans did, though.
Smart. Yeah. It's a win-win for them all the way around.
Now, do they go out and sign Matt Barnes, who is supposedly the boogie whisperer? I mean, he's the guy who, when DeMarcus Cousins is flipping out on the court, losing his top, another guy who has some emotional issues as well. Does he get signed by the Pelicans now to be that type of whisperer to Boogie Cousins? It could possibly happen because he was released by the Kings.
Yeah.
When we come back from this next commercial break, we're talking about Coastal Carolina and their opening four games of their baseball season. We'll go through each game and go through some takeaways and some notes from these games as well.
And during my segment, I had a call from Larry. Had him on hold. Lost your call, Larry. Call back.
Yeah,
we'll get
definitely.
You on. He wants to talk about the trade. So
you want to talk about Coastal baseball, give us a phone call as well. 843-652-3776. When we come back, we'll be talking about the Chanticleer baseball team on the drive.
Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team.
Welcome back to The Drive. 23 minutes past the hour. Pat Payone and Wally B hanging out with you. Give us a phone call, 843-652-3776. We're talking Coastal Carolina baseball in this segment right here. And going back to their first game on Friday, the ninth-ranked Chanticleers, you know, began their national championship defense with an 8-5 win versus the Richmond Spiders. It was the season opener at Springsbrook Stadium before a crowd of 3,280, a record for a Chanticleer regular season and on-campus contest. Overall, it is the eighth-largest crowd for a CCU home baseball contest. A very cool thing, you know, prior to the game, they unveiled the national championship trophy display, and they raised the banner, the flag, in the outfield. But they also honored National Coach of the Year Gary Gilmore, who actually threw out the first pitch of the game.
Cool.
That was very cool. A very cool situation, very cool circumstances for the Chanticleers, and definitely getting the win over the Richmond Spiders 8-5 was key for that. For Coastal against the Spiders, Kevin Woodall was 2-for-5 with a key home run, while newcomers Wood Myers and Corey Wood each had two RBI in the win. Alex Cunningham earned the win, his first win of the season, allowing 8 hits, 4 runs, which were 2 earned, with no walks, 3 strikeouts over 5 innings. All-American Andrew Beckwith came in, worked 2 scoreless innings in middle relief. He allowed just 1 hit, no walks, and struck out 3. And interestingly enough, Coastal Carolina improves to 4-3 all-time versus the Richmond Spiders, 29-13 in season openers since 1974, 25-9 when playing its home opener, And the Chanticleers also improved to 16-8 in season openers and 19-2 in home openers under coach Gary Gilmore, who began his tenure at Coastal Carolina in 1996. That led to Saturday's game against Western Carolina. It was the second consecutive game where there was an on-campus attendance record with 3,777 people, and they helped the 2016 team celebrate its national championship with a ceremony and ring presentation. However, the visiting Catamounts of Western Carolina did prevail. They spoiled the day with a 5-4 victory over the Chanticleers at Springbrook Stadium. Very cool event for this one as well. It was a ceremony led by MC Kaylee Hartung of ESPN, and it featured videos from multiple people, including Carl Ravitch of ESPN, Kyle Peterson of ESPN, as well as CCU's Mike Tolbert from the Carolina Panthers, cool. Josh Norman of the Washington Redskins, and actor Michael Kelly, who is currently on House of Cards. There was also a congratulatory video from the children of the Nebraska Medical Hospital that Coastal actually visited while they were in Omaha for nice. The College World Series. But the game itself was back and forth affair, with the Catamounts scoring once in the eighth inning to secure the win 5-4. Billy Cook was a bright piece for the Chanticleers in this game. He had two of Coastal Carolina's four hits that knotted the game at 4-4 with a leadoff home run in the bottom of the sixth. The Catamounts regained the advantage with a run in the top of the eighth to make the final score 5-4. Jason Billis struck out five over four innings, but allowed four hits, four runs, five walks, with two hit batters. Kitchen suffered the loss in relief, allowing two hits and one run in 3.1 innings, and Bobby Holmes worked the final 1.2 innings and allowed two hits and struck out two. That led to Sunday's game, where the James Madison Dukes came in, and James Madison's Adam Sisk hit a three-run home run in the fourth inning and another three-run shot in the fifth to lead James Madison to an 11-3 victory over ninth-ranked Coastal Carolina at Springbrook Stadium. For the Dukes, Sisk finished the day with an unbelievable six RBIs, while Kyle McPherson added three hits and scored three times as well. It's hard. You don't want to read too much into this, but Kevin Woodall, he is having a tremendous start in his first four games. He hit his second home run of the weekend to make the score 11-3 in the seventh to provide the eventual final score. Coastal's Vasquez, the pitcher, suffered the loss as he allowed five hits, four runs, three earned, three walks in three innings. To wrap it up, they had their Monday game against St. John's. St. John's scored three runs in the top of the 10th to hand Coastal a 7-4 loss Monday afternoon at Springbrook Stadium. The Red Storm were 4-0 in this 18th annual Caravelle Resorts Baseball at the Beach this tournament this weekend, while the Chanticleers fell to 1-3 to start the season. In the eighth inning, though, Seth Lancaster tied the game at 4-4 with his first home run of the season, which was an opposite field blast to left field, a huge home run from what I've heard. I was not at the games, but, you know, I'd like to read up and also hear from the producers about how the games went. Bobby Holmes, who's now 0-1, suffered the loss as he allowed three runs on three hits and three walks with three strikeouts in 2.1 innings. A 1-3 start for the Chanticleers is not a reason to go ahead and just, you know, jump off the bandwagon.
Too early,
it's not unusual, actually, in history of Coastal Carolina baseball, for them to get off a slow start, especially considering, you know, the tough schedule that Coach Gary Gilmore assembles each and every year.
Yeah.
Since 2001, Coastal is now a combined 23-33 early in the season before settling into a groove and stringing together significant win streaks. I remember just last season, two seasons ago, it was kind of the same thing. You know, they start off the season against some strong competition, had a a slow start, not a bad start, but a slow start. And once the conference games start in, they rattled off so many wins. I expect that to happen again as well. CCU was playing nine games in its 11 days to open the season, and is scheduled to play a total of 23 games in 29 days to open the season. That
is a lot of baseball.
That is a lot of baseball, and that ends with a three-game series at Texas State, March 17th to the 19th. Coming up on Wednesday, Coastal will face rival College of Charleston. While CCU beat the Cougars twice last season, College of Charleston owns a slight 21-20 lead in the all-time records between the Cougars and the Chanticleers. And the Cougars are just one of three teams that Coastal Carolina has played at least 40 times that own a winning record against the Shants. The other two teams, ACC's Clemson, who the Chanticleers are 9-43 against, and the ACC's North Carolina Tar Heels, who are 18-43 against the Chanticleer, or the Chanticleers are 18-43 against. Wow. So two big programs in college baseball, the Chanticleers have losing records to, and Coastal or College of Charleston is another one that has played at least 40 games with a winning record of the Shots. Now, if the Shots win this game on Wednesday, it'll be 21-21, so you can go ahead and just throw that winning record out.
And remember, team members, they are home Wednesday and this coming weekend, so get out there and support them.
And we will have tickets to go ahead and give away on Wednesday's show, so be aware of that as well. Following the College of Charleston, they will host Ball State, George Mason, and West Virginia in the Caravelle Resort Tournament this upcoming weekend. Now, going back to these past four games, we might have a new Chanticleer on our hands to talk about all season long, and that is Corey Wood. Corey Wood is the only Chanticleer to collect a hit in all four games in 2017. Pretty interesting right there.
Is that the freshman that the coach talked about?
He's a freshman, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that our coach that joined us on Thursday, Kevin Schnall, he joined us for an interview on Thursday. Yes, that was one of the mentions, the names he mentioned.
When you asked him who to look out for, he mentioned him. That's awesome.
Catcher Matt Beard, who was given a day off during the opening weekend, has a hit in each of the three games he played in, so both of those guys are off to great starts. Kevin Woodall Jr., Billy Cook, and Wood Myers, and Corey Wood all reach base safely in all four games. And dating back to last season, Billy Cook has reached base safely in seven straight, Lancaster in six straight, and Woodall in six straight games. So these guys are some really talented hitters. Going to their season stats so far, I know it's only four games in, so I'm not going to read too much into this. But right now, I mean, Kevin Woodall Jr. with his two home runs. You got Corey Wood, five RBIs in four games, as I mentioned. Five hits in 13 at bats. Billy Cook, six hits in 14 at bats. They're playing some good baseball. They just didn't get the runs across the board. Pitching, I think it's the hardest for a pitcher to get into their groove in a season. You know, most of the preseason, you're just doing, you know, pitching drills. You may do a couple batting practice pitches. You may do some game situation pitching. But it's never like what you see going up against a batting lineup of another collegiate team.
Yeah.
It's hard to make that transition from the preseason where it's just, you know, practice or even scrimmages to the actual in-game, pitching situations. I mean, you're in multiple situations in a game.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to read too much into these guys, you know, starting off a little slow, especially Andrew Beckwith, Jason Billis. I think these guys and Bobby Holmes, these guys all have a tremendous talent. And we will see as the season progresses that they will hit their groove and we will see these ERAs and these numbers come back to what we're more accustomed to. But it's very interesting to see, you know, a 1-3 start. Since 2011, the Chanticleers have started 4-4, 3-4, 4-8, 2-5, 2-2, 7-7, 1-3. So we're not, this year is 1-3. Unaccustomed to seeing the Chanticleers just, you know, start the season off just a little bit slow. It's really when it gets into that conference time, leading into that conference time, what we're seeing from the Chanticleers. Cause there's some big schools coming up, in not only this week, but in the next couple weeks as well. I mean, think about this week coming up. College of Charleston is a perennial powerhouse, not only in the state of South Carolina, but in NCAA baseball. You have, Ball State, George Mason, and West Virginia. I mean, this is a great, another barometer after these first four games to see where we're seeing the Chanticleers. And like I said, it is the first eight games, so you can't read too much into it. But it's going to be very interesting to see what the what Coach Gary Gilmore, what changes they make, and maybe not at all, because you can't be a person who just makes changes on the whim because of the first four games. Guys will find their grooves. I'm not worried about it. Not worried at all. And we will go ahead and reach out to Coastal Carolina to get another interview coming up probably at the end of this week to go ahead and not only preview the upcoming games, but talk to us about the first four games, as Wally and I will probably be going out to a couple games this season. And maybe we'll make it out to one this week, Wally. Maybe this weekend. So we'll see.
I'm free.
Perfect. All right, when we come back from this next commercial break, a trade in the NFL. Can't go into the NFL just yet as the new season hasn't started. The new league year hasn't started, but we're going to talk about it. The Dolphins acquired tight end Julius Thomas from the Jaguars. Why we like it or why we dislike it, all coming up on the drive. The 10th annual charity golf tournament hosted by the South Strand Lions Club to benefit the Lions Club Community Charities is happening Saturday, March 4th, 2017. This is at the Wachusett Plantation East Course, so that's just 2 weekends away, am I right? Yeah, 2 weekends away.
Yeah.
Check-in and breakfast, 7:30 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. It is a captain's choice style format. Shotgun start at 9 a.m. $75 per person or $300 per team. Or if you decide to pay at the door the day of, it is $80 per person, $320 per team. You will have breakfast, catered lunch, round of golf, gift bags, awards, raffle prizes. Everything is great at this tournament. For more information, you can call one of two gentlemen, Bob Bonadonna at 843-808-8274. Again, Bob Bonadonna, 843-808-8274, or Steve Barber at 843-921-7365, 843-921-7365. When we come back, NFL Trade Talk on The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3 The Team. Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team.
Welcome back to The Drive. 38 and a half minutes past the hour. Pat Payone and Wally B hanging out with you. Give us a phone call on The Drive, 843-652-3776. Go on Twitter, at 100 through The Team. Let us know what you're thinking. Mr. Williams writes in his good, bad, and ugly. He says, the good, Anthony Davis, the bad, the all-star game, the ugly, Cedric Benson blames CTE for his DUI arrest and says he doesn't know his ABCs.
Jeez.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Knucklehead. Also, speaking of the NFL, we have a trade, ladies and gentlemen. Miami Dolphins agreed to a trade yesterday to acquire Jacksonville Jaguars tight end Julius Thomas for a 2017 seventh-round pick, according to ESPN's Adam Kaplan, confirmed by multiple reports. The deal will be made official and announced shortly after March 9th, 4 p.m., which is the actual start of the new NFL year. Upon the completion of this trade, Thomas will restructure his contract and is expected to be in Miami today to meet with the Dolphins. Why is this significant? Because the Dolphins last season, with their tight ends, they had the second fewest yards in the NFL from their tight end position. Only the New York Jets had fewer receiving yards from their tight end position at 173 receiving yards from a tight end. The Dolphins, 551 yards. Raiders, 580. Rams, 584. So all four of those teams miserable at the tight end position. But this acquisition of Julius Thomas, who has really had a up-and-down career so far. Think about the peaks of his career with the Denver Broncos. He was an incredible, incredible tight end. Now, whether you want to, you know, relate that to Peyton Manning being the quarterback and then moving to the Jaguars with Blake Bortles. I mean, you can make that argument.
Yeah.
But I think this acquisition of Thomas, Miami has filled a major need at tight end. I mean, their former starters, Jordan Cameron and Deion Sims, they suffered through so many injuries and inconsistency, and both will be unrestricted free agents in March. So they had to make a move. I like this for the Miami Dolphins. Now, looking at the Jacksonville Jaguars, a seventh-round pick, did they really get the value for Julius Thomas? Probably not, but are they going to make the trade for more than that? Probably not as well.
No.
The Jaguars didn't get what they had hoped out of Thomas when he'd signed their five-year contract worth $46 million with $24 million guaranteed. He, at that point in time, he was one of the league's top three tight ends. He did not play with like that when he was in Jacksonville. Made little impact.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very interesting. He had some injury issues, which you can equate to his struggles, but I think it was more of the erratic play by quarterback Blake Bortles. Thomas had 76 catches for 736 yards, 9 touchdowns in 2 seasons, which is less than 10 yards per catch. He averaged 11.8 yards per catch and 24 touchdowns in the 2 final seasons in Denver. Talk about, you know, just the contradicting nature of those 2 seasons in Denver to these last 2 seasons in Jacksonville. I don't know if you could put it all on Julius Thomas. I think a majority of the blame has to be to the Jacksonville Jaguars' strategy of using him,
but
even more so Blake Bortles. I mean, yeah, he did miss 11 games in 2 seasons with the Jaguars, but did they use him correctly when he was healthy? I don't believe so. The thing that I like about this trade for the Miami Dolphins, think about how Adam Gase, the coach for the Dolphins, has changed this offense. Not only are they one of the best running teams in the entire NFL with Jay Ajayi, which he had incredible season last year.
Yeah.
But they've really turned it around with Ryan Tannehill, and I am one of the biggest Ryan Tannehill bashers. I don't think he is a great quarterback at all. But there was flashes last season that really showed that Adam Gase is improving this offense and improving the play of Ryan Tannehill. So bringing in a player like Julius Thomas, who is familiar with Adam Gase's system, because Adam Gase was the Denver Broncos offensive coordinator when Julius Thomas was the tight end there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a huge move. Now, are we going to see the resurgence of Julius Thomas and do one of the top three tight ends again? No, that is strictly held for Rob Gronkowski. That is held for Travis Kelce. And you can even throw Jimmy Graham in there. I think those guys are mainly the top three tight ends. Greg Olsen, sorry, didn't mean to throw him out there. Forget him for Panthers fans. Sorry about that. I mean, there's other tight ends as well. I don't think this even puts him in the top five of tight ends, but I like this move for the Miami Dolphins and the fact that they are bringing in a guy who has the ability to be a playmaker if you use him correctly.
Yeah.
When he was with the Denver Broncos and when Adam Gase was the coordinator of the Denver Broncos while Julius Thomas was there, he had 108 receptions for 1,277 yards and 24 touchdowns in two seasons. He was a stud, a playmaking tight end. And so you got to believe that he's not going to be back to that type of production.
No.
But he'll make a drastic improvement if he stays healthy from how he played in Jacksonville to how he plays in Miami. And that is strictly because of Adam Gase's system and the use of getting this tight end, Julius Thomas, who is a tremendous athlete when he is healthy. I like this move. Now, does this really change the landscape of the AFC East? No. The New England Patriots are going to run rampant over the AFC East again.
Yep.
Does this move the Miami Dolphins up a little bit in terms of maybe a wild card spot? They were just on the outskirts last year. And so you got to believe that adding an offensive piece like this, it could improve them. I don't know if it's necessarily going to improve them to a wild card position because there's a lot of great teams in the AFC.
Yeah.
But I like the move. I think this also benefits Ryan Tannehill because now you have Jarvis Landry, you have Devontae Parker, two great wide receivers. Jarvis Landry's a great wide receiver. Devontae Parker has the ability to be a great wide receiver. You add now in Julius Thomas, who's a great pass-catching tight end when he's healthy. I think this offense has the potential to be a pretty good offense next year. But that doesn't equate to wins. It doesn't always equate to wins.
No, they overachieved this past year, I think.
That could be a good argument. Did they overachieve? I mean, there were some games where it was all in the back of Jay Ajayi, and he had over 200 yards rushing.
Yeah, yeah.
Three of those games. You can equate those wins to him. The other games, I mean, there were some big Jarvis Landry games and Ryan Tannehill being a part of that as well. There was, I think, one big Devontae Parker game. Their defense is like a bend but don't break defense. They give up a lot of yards and normally some big scoring drives, but they're not a top-rated defense, not even a top-10 defense in my opinion. If they go out and add, you know, some talent in the draft, I think defensively and along that offensive line, I think that the potential for the Miami Dolphins could grow to becoming a wild card team. Maybe not this season, but maybe the season after that. I think Adam Gase is a special, special offensive coordinator and a special coach. I mean, just look at the production change with the Miami Dolphins from pre-Adam Gase to now having Adam Gase as the coach and offensive coordinator. Going through the poll on Twitter, what grade do you give the Miami Dolphins acquisition of tight end Julius Thomas? Wally, do you give it an A, a B, a C, or D or lower, or do you want to just wait till we see them actually in action?
I'll give it a B. I mean, it should be good because he's a good tight end. He should only help. And, again, if they use him properly and
yes.
work him into the schemes and everything.
No, I completely agree. I also voted on this poll. I said a B as well. I think that the familiarity between, you know, Adam Gase and his system and Julius Thomas, who had a lot of production in his system, I think that is the biggest key. Now, you could also say the biggest key is the fact that he has to stay healthy.
Yeah.
He has to stay healthy. I mean, when you miss a total of 11 games in two seasons with the Jaguars, that's 16 game season, so 32 games. You're missing almost a third of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's hard for me to put a lot of value in what you're able to do on the field if you can't stay on the field.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be very interesting. I mean, it's going to be very interesting. He showed flashes. I mean, look back to the first two games in this past season where he caught 9 passes for 135 yards and a touchdown. I mean, I think there was flashes of Julius Thomas being not a great tight end, but a sufficient tight end, a good, a well-versed tight end. But he has to stay healthy, and they have to use him correctly, and I think Adam Gase will do that. I think the biggest winner in this is Ryan Tannehill. Gets another weapon to throw the ball to. I think it also takes a little pressure off of Jay Ajayi, which he doesn't really even need pressure taken off him because he's a great running back. Not great running back, but he's a good running back, a special talent running back. But I like this move for the Dolphins. Like I said, I'll repeat my statement. I don't think this makes them an instant wild card team, and they're no way, shape, or form going to be contending for the AFC East with the New England Patriots. Yeah. But I like this move. I think it improves their offense drastically just in one move. But he's got to stay healthy. Right now in the poll, 50% say the grade that they would give the Miami Dolphins acquisition of tight end Julius Thomas is a C. 45% say C. 27% say B, 27% say A. So there's some movement there. I mean, I think C is probably inaccurate. I said B because I like the relationship between Adam Gase and Julius Thomas and what they were able to achieve in Denver. Uh-huh. I can also see it being a C. You know, you don't know what you're going to get from him, and he can't stay healthy. Right. I don't necessarily see an A. Unless Julius Thomas just comes back to that 2013-2014 form where he was catching, you know, every pass that Peyton Manning threw his way and had 24 touchdowns in 2 years. That's the only way this is an A. I don't see that happening. Keep going on Twitter at 100 through the team. Tell us what you think. Give us a grade on that trade. Continue to give us your good, bad, and ugly. We will go ahead and wrap up the show right after this commercial break with Final Word, What to Watch, and a preview of tomorrow's show on The Drive.
It's time for the final word. The show is almost over, but the conversation continues throughout the day on Twitter at 1003 The Team. Enjoy your workday. We're wrapping up ours.
Welcome back to The Drive. About 3 minutes left in today's show. And final word, technology is pretty awesome. I mean, going back to the West Virginia game, from last night.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you saw this, but Coach Bobby Huggins gave the home crowd a scare when he fell to his knees on the court during a break in the action. He was clutching his chest, and he looked around for his medical professionals shortly after the halftime when they went on to win and beat Texas. But he told ESPN's Holly Rowe that his defibrillator went off, and it felt like somebody was slamming him in the back. In the post game, he threw a little jest out there. He was actually asked if he was afraid he was going to get hit with a technical foul since he dropped to his knees on the court. And he goes, I'm surprised I didn't. I actually was shocked that I didn't get a technical foul. But it's pretty crazy. Wow. I mean, technology is nuts.
And for those who don't realize, a defib is a pacemaker.
Yes. Kevin writes in his good, bad, and ugly. Good, Daytona 500 coming. Bad, Clemson baseball loses opening weekend series. Ugly, Clemson basketball just end the program. Wow. What to watch tonight? Couple of great basketball games, including that terrible Clemson basketball program taking on the Virginia Tech Hokies, 7 p.m. ESPNU. Also, Oklahoma will be traveling to the Baylor Bears. That is 7 p.m. ESPN2. Probably the best game of the night has to be inside the SEC as the South Carolina Gamecocks are traveling to Gainesville, Florida to take on the Florida Gators. If you remember back in their first meeting, the Gamecocks beat the Gators 57-53 thanks to Sandarius Thornwell's 20 points and 2 steals. The Gators also shot over 17 from behind the arc, so that's got to be a best game of the night. I'll be watching that one. Also on tonight in college basketball, St. John's at Marquette, 8 p.m. Fox Sports 1. ECU, they'll be traveling to New Orleans to take on Tulane, 9 p.m. ESPNU. Indiana at Iowa, 9 p.m. ESPN. Ole Miss at Mississippi State, 9 p.m. ESPN2. All great games, but definitely that great game of South Carolina at Florida. A lot of ramifications in the SEC for that one. Definitely be watching that one as well. Thank you all for the phone calls we received today. James, I will be giving you a phone call after today's show to let you know what you can pick up from our station. And congratulations again to James for tying Wally B and I in our Friday Pick'em contest that happened on Thursday. Also, appreciate all who went on Twitter, gave us their good, bad, and ugly, commented on the polls, voted in the polls. Really appreciate that. You definitely contribute to the show. And we'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow's Wednesday.
Tomorrow's
Wednesday. I like you know that. What happens on Wednesday? NASCAR Wednesday interview with our president of Darlington Raceway, Kerry Tharp. He'll be joining us. We'll be back tomorrow for Pat Payone. For Wally B. I'm Pat Payone. Everybody have a great Tuesday.
The home of Coastal Carolina and the Carolina Panthers. This is WSEA Atlantic Beach, Myrtle Beach. Cumulus Broadcasting. Sports Radio 100.3. The Team.